Sunday nap, baby.
Yeah, I got to get this workout in first, and then I can go ahead and
Sunday take a nap. Z's. I'm going to go back to the girls, possibly a bagel sandwich.
Mm. Are you going to make one, or are you going to order one?
She better have it ready when I walk in that door. Man, all right?
She's clearly not listening to the show.
I made her a quesadilla last night. A post Malone quesadilla.
Okay. What kind of protein?
Chicken.
Okay.
Shredded chicken.
Okay.
With some mook, some Tillamook cheddar and mozzarella in there.
Ooh, Tillamook cheddar. That's Tillamook sharp cheddar. That's my favorite.
I'm a white cheddar guy.
Honestly, as long as it's Tillamook, they really are the best cheese in the freaking United States.
Oh,
like, I would put them, honestly, up against any cheese worldwide, actually.
The cheese, it was some of the best cheese.
It's the best cheese. I tell you what, it's great. It's never going to not be great.
It was fantastic, though. It was a great quesadilla. I got compliments on my quesadilla skills last night from her and the BTJ. They were happy. They said a nice crust, a nice golden crust on that quesadilla.
Very good. Very good. I had some fish tacos last night and some shrimp tacos.
Can't go wrong.
You can't.
I think
I haven't had any other protein in my tacos except for those ones for almost a year now.
Ooh. I did smash burgers last night, actually.
That sounds awesome.
Got the plate, like the hot plate, put it on the grill, and then really did like a hot ass, like 600 degrees in the grill, and then true smash burger. It was delightful.
That sounds awesome. I might go ahead and
cheat. He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So good.
Damn right.
That's not the case anymore. You get the nice, long piece of fish.
Yeah, nice long
nice
piece
filet.
Of
no
cod,
want it, Joe.
Yeah,
you know,
some shrimp.
Yeah,
Some shrimp scampi sounds really good.
It does.
Ooh,
it does. Hold the noodles, which sucks, you know. But whatever.
But yeah, I'm expecting. I'm definitely not expecting a bagel sandwich when I walk through the door. That's she'll be. I'll be lucky if she's even awake when I get back.
It sounds like y'all were kicking it real hard last night.
We got back from the concert. It ended at 11. We probably got back around midnight or something like that. And then, yeah, we had our post quesadilla and went off to bed. And then I made the mistake last night, though, because when you have a quesadilla, it's, you know, cheesy and saucy, and I had some sour cream with it. And, you know, it just was almost get that oily greasiness from the butter and the pan, you know, and all that. I was like, man, I need something to cut through all this. And the girl goes, you shouldn't have it right now, but there are those Mexican Cokes in the fridge. I was like,
there it is.
Hey, it's 12:30 at night, but I think I'm going with a Mexican Coke.
Arguably the greatest soda, you know, to pair with a burger or tacos or something like that.
It is
like,
so good.
That real sugar is different.
It is. It just, my God, man.
Yeah.
Is fantastic.
That's incredibly, incredibly different.
I'd rather a Mexican Pepsi, honestly. Give me the glass
Mexican
bottle Pepsi.
Pepsi.
I think they're both winners.
I didn't know Mexico was dabbling in the Pepsi game, too.
Yeah, it's harder to find.
You can't, exactly.
Harder
you can't find the bottles of Mexican Pepsi, but when I do, I'm like, give me like four of those because I'm going to put them in the fridge for later.
Those are so legit amazing. As well.
What was amazing was the Blazers trade. An amazing trade.
I'm sure you guys were happy, right?
Some of the one of the best.
Honestly, no. I didn't
trade. Don't want to hear that now.
Damn bit.
Well, then let's re-sign Anthony Simons, huh? Let's give him a new 3-4 year deal around 30 to 35 million and then keep him on the roster. Let's do that.
He's going
to
give us
40. We down for that?
I was.
No, I was maybe more for acquiring either another piece on offense or somebody not 35 years old, but I digress.
Again, your options were... you re-sign Anthony Simons, which at this point, why would you do that? I would love to hear a compelling case on that. Paying $35 million for only offense, because you're going to get a turnstile on defense.
I think Danny's made the point.
He's not a playmaker. I mean, he's a microwave. So when he's on, he can get you 9 3-pointers in a game. And then when he's off, he's not really doing anything.
I think Danny's made the point, though, and I don't necessarily agree with this, that even when he is off, he is still one of the most efficient at doing that in the NBA. Maybe
at
he's
being
near
off?
The bottom. No, at scoring at a high clip and scoring with a lot of 3-pointers.
He's microwave.
And let's be honest, there are lots of dudes in the NBA that do what Anthony Simons does as far as scoring the ball and don't give you anything else. Like, we don't want to just all of a sudden start saying, well, it's only because he this. No, there's tons of dudes throughout the NBA. Devin Booker's never been a defender. Never, ever. We don't talk about it, though, because he's cold and because he played for a team that was considered to be better than us for, you know, for a long time. So I don't know. I think there are lots of dudes in the league that just do one thing, and that's cool. Like, they don't give you assists. Dame scored a lot of points. Didn't give you a lot of assists. Didn't give you a bunch of rebounds. Didn't give you a bunch of, you know, anything else, but he scored a lot. And I think
okay, that's let's not act like Dame wasn't playmaking and setting up his teammates.
Dame had one season where he had like
eight. You want to talk about someone that didn't pass? That was CJ, unless he absolutely had to. Yeah. And that was when Dame was injured, and even then he was reluctant to do so.
No, for sure. For sure. But I'm just trying to make the point that like there are lots of dudes that have had great NBA careers by just doing one thing. Reggie Miller made a career out of doing just one thing. I don't think Reggie has another shot outside of a three-pointer. We were all shocked to see Reggie dunk the ball at times. Like, oh, shoot, Reggie can dunk? So, I mean, I don't want to just say that. I know he was our guy, and we saw him a lot more than anybody else, but I don't know. I still think there's a lot of value in that. So we're going to say there was no value in a Reggie Miller? Yes, there is. There is definitely a value in a guy like Anthony Simons who can do nothing else but score.
Yeah,
so that's all I'm saying. Maybe not as your number one. Maybe he's not as your team's best player.
Well,
that's
and
fine.
That's the thing is we just tried doing that for the last two seasons, him being the guy. And what is that? I mean, he can be a third guy on a team, maybe even fourth. Like, I think that on a championship team, Anthony Simons is maybe your third leading scorer at best.
Well, we're about to see.
Well, we're not about to see because he's not going to win a championship with Boston this
year. Well,
and
they're even
sure. I mean,
considering flipping.
I was going to say.
No, they're considering flipping him for sure. But if he comes in and has a good season with Tatum out, and especially if Jaylen Brown is going to stay, I don't know why you would shop Jaylen Brown at this point. They're really talking about blowing this whole thing up in Boston. If that's true, they're idiots.
Well, they're looking for a haul for Derek White, too.
If you're looking to blow this thing up after 1 year and your star got hurt, you are idiots. Like, man, work through it and try to figure it out. But, I mean, hey. But, again, if Simons comes out and has a good season in Boston, let's be real, the East isn't as strong as the West, and we know that. And if he comes out and has a great season in the Eastern Conference, where he's already averaging 20 in the West, Do I think he with no Tatum and with, you know, potentially Brown, Trey, like he can average a lot of points. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But
I
think he will be flipped. I don't think he'll be in Boston forever, but if he does well.
Well, I think you would have pissed off more Blazer fans by keeping him than not moving him. I mean, again, I just think that his time here, it's ran its course. You have had him be the quote-unquote leader of this team, which he doesn't seem to have interest in doing over the last two seasons. And what you have with him is what you got last year. Like, that is going to be, if Anthony Simons is your best offensive option, that being a 33-34 win team is about where you're going to sit at best. So it's to me, it's time run its course. And if that means that we got to trade for, and again, he's going to make just as much as Jrue Holiday. Unless he has a terrible season next year and falls off of a clip, then quite frankly, good trade by Portland, right? Like, yeah. we traded him while he was hot. But I just think that ran its course. And to get Jrue Holiday, who, and I was saying this yesterday to Jordan, is not going to be like, hey, Scoot, come here. Let me tell you a couple things about the NBA. He's just going to do him. Jrue Holiday is going to just do what he's known, what he's always done, and that's going to show the players on this roster how to be a professional, how to be a top-tier defender, how to prepare for your opponents, your in-game mentality, your in-game performance, hard work. He's just going to do that and lead by example. It's not going to be the whole, like, you know, hey, come here, let me talk to you about how things are in the NBA or what I do. Sure, there might be coaching that aspect, and hopefully he's down to do that, and if so, great. But I would rather take Jrue Holiday at this point just for the sake of something different in that locker room, a leader. I mean, his career, look at his resume. I mean, like, two world championships, a Olympic gold medalist, six-time all-defensive player. I'm down for that at this point. Through the Terry Stotts years and all the years where we didn't care about defense, and now it seems like we're kind of having a shift in mentality towards more of a defensive-minded team. Sure, sign me up.
I mean, I'm happy about it, too. Is Jrue happy about it? Is the question. That's the first thing we heard was like, man, he's kind of pissed off about being in Portland again. And the last time he was here, he was like, get me out of here. now this roster looks less promising than it did before. So
let's also be real, too. This roster is just very weird.
It was, and it's weirder now than it was when we got the trade the first time. So I can imagine him coming back like, F this noise. I'm not staying
here.
It's
kind of like an island of misfit toys, in a sense. Like, it's just at point guard, Drew Holiday and Scoot Henderson, who's your third overall pick from a couple of years ago, who you hope takes a huge leap.
But it's probably coming off the bench now that Drew Holiday is here.
And then he got Shaedon Sharpe, who is a absolute baller, bucket getter, but seems like he doesn't care half the time. Like, just, you know, his mentality, and like, he doesn't seem to have that killer mentality. Shaedon talk. He just seems very chill, and he's just always at, you know, very mellow about everything.
He borders on aloof almost, but it's not aloofness, but it's not resting bitch face. It's like resting I don't care face, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it just seems, he is just he is a very even keel person and doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. You got Denny Avdija, which, you know, is he able to make another leap? Jeremy Grant, who was once a great player or a good player and now is coming off of the worst season of his career. DeAndre Ayton, which nobody seems to like. Plus, we drafted two centers over the last 2 years. I mean, who else am I forgetting? Matisse Thybulle, who's a great defender, but can't play half the time because he's injured.
Donovan McClingan, who doesn't have an offensive move.
Well, and like,
it's so janky, and maybe it's, they figure it out over the next couple months where they're able to come together and have a coherent offense. But who's going to be your leading scorer? Who's going to be your guy down the stretch?
Oh, it's Shaedon.
Who's going to be? I mean, it should be.
Well, but Portland Trailblazers fans have twisted themselves into knots during this whole process on social media, saying things like, oh, it's an obvious Chinese Jokic situation. Oh, Shaden's going to step up. Like, that's the thing that really gets to me, is you will do anything here in Portland to sound like Trump when it talks about our players. They're going to be great. They're going to be the best ever. That is all I hear on social media about anybody that comes to Portland, regardless of if they're a misfit, if they're like somebody that hasn't reached their ceiling yet. It's all about potential here, and for some reason y'all just eat it up, and I don't effing know why.
Because what else are we gonna eat? There's nothing else for us to eat. And on top of that, again, we've talked about this a million times. We don't have a baseball team. We don't have a football team. This is it.
Doesn't mean we should buy the crap line of.
I mean, if you love sport, yeah, it kind of does. You don't have a choice. Like, it's either get on board or, you know, just be miserable on the sidelines and not watch or whatever. Like, I mean, it's whatever at this point. This is just kind of what it is. This is what it means to be a Blazer fan for now. And we could all be wrong, and maybe this is the roster that changes everything.
Listen,
I doubt it, but whatever.
And this is how it will go for me with the Blazer season. I'll check in for about the first 5 games, maybe 6-7. We'll probably be 2-5, and then I'll tune out for a few months.
What if they're 5-0 or 5-1?
Well, then you got me at least for a few more games. Until they're,
it's happened before.
Until that 5-0 turns into like 8-9, and then that's when you lose me.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like, I mean, I'm trying to hold out hope because, unfortunately, Jordan, that's all we can do. You know, until we get an owner that is competent enough to make good decisions, we just have to hold out hope that they're doing the right thing.
Again, the moves to be made, probably not a lot. I know they have a mid-level exception. They have the contracts of DeAndre and Jeremy Grant, but also I just don't see what other team front office in the league is like, you know what I want to do? I want to trade for that Jeremy Grant contract after he just had one of the worst seasons of his life. That sounds like a good idea. You know what, DeAndre Ayton? I want to trade for that contract after he gave up one of the more inconsistent performances of his career over the last season, and I don't know if I can depend on him on a night-to-night basis, and motivating him is going to be a tough challenge, and I'm going to get 10 straight games out of him that are going to be phenomenal, and then I'm going to get 10 straight that I can't play him, and he is simply not helping this team at all. That sounds like a good idea.
What if,
Go ahead, buddy.
What if you included him in a trade with a team like a Boston who is literally trying to clear salary? It's why they got rid of Drew. It's why they got rid of Kristaps Porzingis. Not every team is the desperate situation, or at least is in the desperate situation that the Celtics are, where they're paying $150 plus million over luxury tax, and then a new owner coming in looking at that, you know, is like, no, I am not keeping that on my books. So if you could find, not necessarily a winner, because I hear what you guys are saying. It's like, DeAndre's not great. But what is great in the NBA, what is a huge asset, is the expiring contract. Remember, Ray freaking LaFrent, who wasn't playing. He was at home, like, in Indiana in his last contract for the Blazers year. It was, like, 2012, 2013. And he was traded as part of a pretty big deal to a team that wanted to get money off the books. So whether or not Ayton actually comes through on the court, he is valuable as an asset.
And that's what I was saying, yeah. But like for a team that is still trying to build, like, again, Lakers, I could see it happening because they're desperate and they want a big, but I see if any team's going to trade for him, it's somewhere in the bottom third of the league that is trying to build their roster, and they see a $34 million contract coming off the books, and that's where they're like, eh, we'll take that on. That's fine. Yeah. 1 year DeAndre Ayton, but we get $34 million at the end of the year. Okay, I'm down for that. That's how I see that happening.
How about DeAndre for Bradley Beal? No one takes Bradley Beal's like contract off the Suns. Why not Portland?
I'm good.
We
on
need
Bradley
offense.
Beal.
I no, like
Bradley
seriously, Beal.
That's my guy. But
we need
no,
offense
you.
And shooting.
I mean, but I'll say this:
send DA right
paired
back to Phoenix.
Paired with a Drew Holiday, all of a sudden Bradley Beal wouldn't feel as weird, you know. So, but yes, there needs to we do know there will be another change coming. We just need to know when it's going to be. There's no way they go into the season with five centers.
No. Nope.
They can't.
Nope.
We'll see.
All right. Let's talk about some more NBA stuff because there was a draft. So we can talk about some of the draft players, talk about some of the other NBA rumors going around, who could be on the move, who's staying put. I missed last week when the Kevin Durant trade went down. Yeah, I was in Central Oregon for that.
Yeah.
That happened like right in the middle of the show, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, that was cool.
It did.
Breaking news here on the Fan. Let's get to some more NBA draft stuff for other teams around the league. Get to that next tier. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Let me throw a little conspiracy theory out there while you're doing
that. No.
It's not a bad one.
This is your second one of the day.
But I think it's actually legitimate that the Blazers...
I want to hear it.
I think they all say that.
I want to hear it.
All right, what
this
is it?
This isn't like a 9/11 thermite freaking thing, like with like the two towers, okay? It's that the Blazers actually were in on Jaeger Demen. Maybe this is more hope from my end and not necessarily conspiracy theory. So let's do that. It's not a conspiracy theory tinfoil hat. It's hope. I wanted the Blazers to get Jaeger Demen, 6'9 point guard from BYU.
I did too.
As soon as it seemed like the perfect fit. If Scoot doesn't work, you've got a bigger guy. His shooting touch seems to be going in the right direction. He's got great passing ability. And he already looks like he's NBA ready, minus the shooting, but he's still young enough that that can get a lot better quickly. When he went at 8, the Blazers pivoted and went to Young Hanson. They're like, you know what? All right, now we're going to establish our backup plan here as plan A. So, you know, I hope the Blazers were in on Mr. Demen, but obviously didn't happen.
Well, whether it was... Igor or Colin Murray Boyles at 9. You know, they obviously weren't going to draft Malawach if he was available.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where, you know, because there was also Noah Senge, there was Derek Queen, there was Carter Bryan. All those guys were still available. And those were players that some Blazer fans are going to keep an eye on. I would say especially Carter Bryant, yeah, seeing that is who some fans wanted and felt like was the right pick. I don't really think that's a whole crazy conspiracy theory. I think that was possibly what happened is once they got to 8 or 9, they immediately started talking to teams in those low teens to, and if again, they had intel that at 17, the Timberwolves, because they ended up drafting a center right after that, the Timberwolves. If they had intel that the Nets at 19 possibly wanted to go with him or one of their later round picks in the 26-27 range that the Nets had, they're like, hey, you know what? We'll go, as Joe said, we were comfortable going to 16 because we wanted to make sure that we didn't go so far back that he wasn't going to be available. So that's the move that they decided to take. And there's going to be players that we all keep an eye on as far as Blazer fans go to see, did we miss out on something? Did we miss out on a Colin Murray Boyles by two picks, you know? Did we miss out on Carter Bryant, who was taken at San Antonio, number 14 overall? New Orleans making one of the more puzzling moves in trading up 10 spots and giving up a first-round pick next year to go after Derek Queen. Like, you want to talk about a team who's under fire for making a move and possibly making a reach and giving up an asset to do that? It's the New Orleans Pelicans, man. Like, that is going to be a team, like, you know, as much as people are watching the Blazers and what's going to happen with Young, a lot of people are going to be watching the Pelicans and see what happens with Derek Queen, because that's a team who, again, moved up 10 spots, gave up a first-round pick for next year, unprotected first-round pick, when you're probably not going to be very good either, is my guess, as the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, your team now, granted, you still have some good players on there, but you traded Brandon Ingram last year. You traded C.J. McCollum just recently to the Washington Wizards. Hey, at least they got Jordan Poole, though.
Yay, right? Right? Jordan Poole's on the team. Pool party.
He'll play better defense than CJ.
We'll see if you have Zion at as the season starts too. There's questions and if he's even going to be a Pelican to start the season. There are some players we're going to look at that and be like, did we pass up? I mean, Kasparis Jakaciūnas, he dropped all the way to 20. I mean, he was being talked about as one of the picks there at number 11. So, and it also goes to say that, like, that makes the pick for Young Hansen, like, even more, like, under the microscope, because there are multiple players that were being mocked or that fans wanted or that other people that are watching Portland's situation thought would have been in a better fit, and you didn't draft them because you liked Young Hansen that much. You did not draft Carter Bryant because you liked the prospect of trading down and getting Young Hansen. You did not draft Kasparis Jakaciūnas because of the prospect of drafting Young Hansen. So, again, dude, it's, I am very curious. There's going to be a few guys in this draft that Blazer fans are going to have their eye on for the next 3 to 5 years.
That's usually how it goes. And I the biggest hope is that Jan ends up being one of those guys that, everybody else looks at and goes, oh, man, I wish we knew. I wish we knew what the talent we have. But, yeah, when I look at Carter Bryant, because he was one of the few guys that I'd kind of done some research on because he could have fell to 11. Apparently he was still there, so not taking a forward. And I was just looking at what the Blazers need is 3-and-D, right? They need a wing that can defend, that can shoot a three a little bit. And I thought Carter Bryant could have been a great opportunity to do that. I guess the Blazers thought otherwise. But, I mean, I'm not mad. Because, like you said, the Timberwolves' next pick went center. So I don't know why the Timberwolves keep going with Frenchmen. There must be really something there. They know something
French
we don't.
French centers?
Yeah, they know something we don't with Gobert and now with Behringer. Is that how you say his name?
Sure.
Or how do you say it in
it's
the French
way? It's not like Behringer or
yeah,
some.
Behringer, yeah.
Joan Behringer.
Yeah.
Jean Behringer. I'm going to go with that.
But it's tough to be like, it's hard for me to judge a lot of these picks, because I'm not sure what every franchise is looking for. Some are drafting off of fit. Some are drafting off of need. Some are taking best player available. So it really depends on, which direction your franchise is in. If you're OKC, pick whatever you want to, right? You don't really need anything. Just take whatever is available, whoever you think would fit. If you're Portland, you need to be a lot more strategic. If you're Atlanta, you need to be a lot more strategic about what it is you're doing and how you're moving. So you can kind of see that in the draft, because a lot of it is like I said, I don't really know a lot of these players. The biggest story, obviously, of the draft outside of Cooper Flagg was Ace Bailey. Obviously not going.
Oh, my God. Or,
which, whatever. Like, we see it in football all the time, literally all the time. Like, guys say, I'm not going there, or my son ain't going there, or my grandson isn't going there. I think his team is – terrible, whoever his team is.
And Utah's like, yeah, you are.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're coming here anyway, bro. Sorry. So, I mean, say what you want to, but, I mean.
Did you see the report on him today?
It didn't seem like he's sad. See, when he had the Utah shirt on, just, he was smiling.
I think his
pictures.
Agent, the guy that's representing him, it's like his former AAU coach is just a boob. Like, he's just doesn't know what he's doing.
No, but he was actually photographed on the court with the Jazz. Obviously showed up yesterday as he said he would.
All smiles?
Yeah, like, smiles, so. And hadn't even checked in. They took a, and I'm sure this was set up for social media, but they took a picture of his suitcase with his hat sitting on a suitcase and him playing in the basketball court. Like, he went straight to the facility. So, ready to go. And
I mean,
what
listen,
more do you want?
I can imagine being sad. I don't know. Where is Ace Bailey from?
That's a good question.
I mean, he went to Rutgers.
He went to Rutgers, so that, I mean,
but like, where did he grow up?
What, Rutgers?
Chattanooga, Tennessee. Far away from home, man. That's...
Man, Utah, Salt Lake City is a huge contrast.
Chattanooga, Tennessee, Utah, Salt Lake City, one in the same.
Tomatoes, tomatoes, right? Not at all. Not at all. So I can imagine, like, when the first four picks are Dallas and San Antonio, Philly, you know, North Carolina, Salt Lake City, really?
Like, yeah, just after not, just being in New York.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that, but you know, whatever. Like, I'm in the NBA now, so who cares? But yeah, I can imagine initially, like, ugh, really? Okay, I'll go, but I'm not gonna like it. Who knows? Maybe he gets there and he loves it, and they love him, and then they win or whatever. But Utah hasn't had the best track record about keeping their young talent there, unless you're Stockton and Malone.
All right, let's take a break. We're way over. Some more NBA news and notes when we get back. But first, Schultz with the Sports Center update. LeBron James, he opts in for $52.6 million for an extra year in L.A. So, shocker, not going anywhere. This was just announced a little bit ago. Julius Randle is signing his extension with, a new 3-year, $100 million deal to stay with the Timberwolves. Mm. So Julius Randle will be remaining in Minnesota.
I don't know if that's worth the money, but okay.
I mean, $33 million a year for Julius Randle, that's not that bad.
Could what be did he lot. Do in the playoffs?
I mean, he had some really good games and he had some really bad games.
For Julius Randle, it's more bad than good.
I wasn't a fan of Julius Randle in New York. I thought that towards the end of his tenure and in the middle of it, at times he would take plays off, and he was kind of, quite honestly, a little bitch about it. But then he went to Minnesota. He was rejuvenated. I started to appreciate his game a little bit more. I just think in the Western Conference Finals, he didn't show up as much as he would like to. I don't think he... He earned some points back in my book. Julius Randle did this season. So I think him at 33 mil is not that terrible. Let's see. Outside, I mean, it's smaller notes. Kelly Oubre, Sixers, $8.4 million option. Dorian Finney-Smith declines his option with the Lakers, so he's going to be a free agent. The trade from yesterday, the Bulls trading Lonzo Ball to the Cavaliers for Isaac Okoro. Whatever, you know, if Lonzo Ball is able to stay healthy, I guess that's pretty interesting with that Cleveland team.
I think that's huge. If Lonzo is able to, again, you said it, it's able to be healthy.
It's much easier said than done for him.
No, I mean, but he played most of the season, you know, pretty healthy once he was able to come back. You know, the Bulls were trash, but so it didn't really matter.
He played 35 games last year.
No, I'm saying he missed like the first part of the season, but when he was able to come back.
I thought you just said he played most of the season.
I mean, he played, no, not most, forgive me. He played almost half the season. You know, because he ended when he came back, but he played when he did play.
He's played 35 games the last two seasons each. So 35. And actually, excuse me, when I say last two seasons, because he missed two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So he has played a total of 70 games since 2021.
As your starter, probably not the guy that you're going to roll out there to be your point guard. However, for him to come off your bench, and considering that Lonzo is a 6'6 point guard who can pass and who can shoot, I think that can be a huge, huge help for this Cavalier squad, who really kind of struggled with scoring off the bench.
One move that is possibly not going down. This team and this player were talking. It was the Detroit Pistons and Malik Beasley. There were serious talks about a new 3-year, $42 million contract for Malik Beasley. He might not be in the league anymore because he's currently being investigated for gambling. So and it's not just like, oh, just some guys poking it. The U.S. District Attorney's Office is investigating Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets. So they were, the Pistons and him were talking, and then the Pistons were like, say what? What's going on here?
Yeah, when are these dudes going to learn? I don't understand. The Shohei situation not show anybody
they won't
that this is not a good idea to bet on the sport that we play.
Well, and Shohei didn't bet on the game.
He didn't. But I'm saying the situation, you know, with this, with the, just gambling in general. But then
we've seen in every sport. We saw, was it Calvin Ridley? We saw the, what is it, Jontay Porter, the dude last year. Yeah.
When are we going to learn? Malik Beasley doesn't seem like the sharpest knife in the drawer anyway.
Beasley's attorney said an investigation is not a charge. Malik has offered the same right of the presumption of innocence as anyone else under the U.S. Constitution as of now. Well, he has not been charged with anything.
Where there's smoke, typically fire. Then, I mean, again, guilty until proven or innocent until proven guilty, depending on who you are. But I don't know. This is kind of one of those things right now. Like, this is stupid. Like, you can lose your NBA career for gambling on placing prop bets on your own sport. Why?
It was against the Blazers, too. At least one of the games that the feds are investigating. He had like six rebounds.
Someone watch the film.
No, seriously. It's weird when you see like a... it's always funny, and I'm sure the algorithms... That's the cool thing about this all being like above board now, you know, and all these books like are legally doing this, because when these algorithms see a jump in, you know, either some money placed on a bet that's not normally happening or something happening very quickly, it's usually an indicator of some kind of maybe some inside information or something leaked or something like that. So when you see this happen, I think they said that the line on his rebound over under moved like 300 points betting wise. Yeah, people start to get suspicious. Well, and can't do that.
Well, when this is happening too, now Twitter has gone to posting just different highlights, being like, yeah, he's 100% guilty. There's a clip of him just getting blown by Tyrese Halliburton, blowing by him with minimal, like, defensive effort.
He didn't even try.
It is like... It's like when you're stoned and someone, like, fake tries to punch you and you flinch, like, 2 seconds later. That's what happens. Like, Tyrese Halliburton drives by him, and Malik Beasley, like, a whole second later is like, huh? And looks back.
What do you mean?
Like, oh, God. He was so fast. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's another one of him, a ball bouncing off of his hands out of bounds late in the game. It's not looking good for Malik Beasley. Whenever you get the U.S. District Attorney's Office investigating things.
Isn't he the one that was dating Larsa Pippen?
No, I believe that was, oh, wait. Oh, God. I feel like it was another Beasley, but maybe I'm wrong. It could have been.
Why are any of these dudes with Larsa, man? Like, Well, there's two reasons I can think of, but like...
I was about to say Michael Beasley, but he definitely was not dating.
No.
Yeah, it was Malik Beasley. Yeah.
So he's just taking L's all the way around, like...
Well, and this was back, the allegation is from the 23-24 season. Was that before Jontay Porter was banned? Because I'm trying to remember, like, you guys asked the question, like, well, how do these players keep doing this? It seems like a lot of these, like the recent minor league baseball players that have all finally gotten off their suspensions, these were allegations from years ago, you know, as betting was becoming legalized. So I agree, these guys are idiots, but it sounds like this was from a season or two ago, kind of right as the Jontay Porter stuff was going big.
Well, one of these is from, last season, as mentioned by Jordan, against the Portland Trailblazers. Odds on Beasley recording fewer than 2.5 rebounds moved significantly before the game from around plus 120 to around minus 250 due to a surge of action on the under. Beasley finished with 6 rebounds in the bets that were deemed unusual lost.
Yeah, that's a big movement.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah.
I don't even feel bad for you if you lose your NBA career.
And so
stupid.
If it was minus 250 on the under, it was probably plus 300 on the over, which he hit. So there you go. Like, that's a problem.
Other big transactions today besides LeBron opting in and the Julius Randle deal to the Timberwolves, 3 years, $100 million. Bojan Bogdanovic retiring after 10 seasons. As I mentioned earlier, Finney Smith declined his option with the Lakers. So this is the calm before the storm. I'm sure we will hopefully be sitting here next week with some more stuff to talk about, because next week, I believe, is when free agency starts on July 6th. So
the free agency market isn't super huge this year.
No, but we'll see with trades and, you know, anything happens there, and see if the Blazers pull the trigger on anything. We'll read some texts on the last segment here of how some of the Blazer fans feel after this week. Get to that next year. Finish it up. Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Blazers have a top five defense with Drew. Ayton has anchored a finals team already.
All true.
Blazers will make the playoffs, is someone said there. How about that?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
God forbid that someone has hope for their Portland Trail Blazers, Jordan.
It's not hope, you
guys. I think
guys.
Jordan wants the Blazers to fail.
No. Stop
wants
this.
He wants Scoot to be terrible. He wants Joe Cronin to be fired.
Scoot might as well be Markelle Fultz.
I don't know about you. I root for my teams.
I try to. It's tough.
You guys.
It's tough.
This right here. You know what? You make me out to be like East Coast negative Nancy all the time. Joe, we said this yesterday and agreed on this point when we were in for Sinner and Saint, that you root for your team trying to win a championship. You want your team to be out there going for it, right? That's kind of the basis of how I watch sports. When it doesn't seem like they're even close to doing so, I've got a major issue with that. And I can't take hope year after year after year. I've said this about the Mariners: hope in one hand, spit in the other. Tell me which one fills up first. And if the line back is, well, what else are we going to do? Ask for better. Demand for better from the organization. What we're going to do.
All right, hold on. What I ask of you is present better options. And that's what I feel like I don't get out of some people who are like, well, why don't we just become a championship team? And it's also a matter of like, okay, so build a roster.
Build
a championship team. Show me the moves that should be done.
They should have interviewed a GM, right? They shouldn't have just hired Joe Cronin right out of their own.
Who else?
Danny Ainge was available at the time. Why not go get one of the best names in basketball and one of your former players at the time to come in build a championship team?
And Danny Ainge says yes.
I'm not saying that he would have, but they didn't even give that as an option, Joe. That's my problem
with
this
organization.
Do you know that? Yes. So they talked to nobody.
Do you know that they didn't maybe entertain and call him, and then he said, no, I'm not going
anywhere? It is public knowledge that they did not go outside of the organization, that the job was just handed to Joe Cronin. Those are the kinds of things. And if you want other solutions, go get Domantas Sabonis. Don't screw up the trade for CJ McCollum.
How?
There was a deal proposed a couple of weeks ago that would have made sense. DeAndre Ayton to the Sacramento Kings plus a couple of picks. It actually works salary-wise. Don't screw up the trade for CJ McCollum, and instead of getting Elijah Hughes back, get Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's doing amazing things for the Timberwolves.
So here's the thing.
I've got solutions for you.
And the Kings just say yes to that.
I'm not saying. You just asked for solutions. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving you ideas.
But those are solutions under the assumption that Danny Ainge is like, okay, yeah. The Sacramento Kings are like, okay, yeah, we'll give you Domantas Sabonis. And
okay,
take back
so here's the whole thing. And I hear what both of you are saying, because both of you are
trade for Ann Edwards.
Both of you are right.
That's not my point.
The truth is, it comes to one of those things, like you kind of said, Jordan, like, demand more, right? Ask for more. And it's kind of like a guy who is not necessarily working out, doesn't keep himself up, doesn't. Not showering, not doing all these things, but he demands a hotter chick. You know what I mean? Like, who are we to demand anything from anybody at this point? And I think that's the thing. Our city is not equipped for even an all-star game here. You don't have a whole lot of – you have people that pay piece of the trade, but do they really want those pieces, number one, and do they want those pieces on their books unless they're an expiring contract, number two? It's one of those things. You kind of get who you're able to get and kind of hope for the best from there. And until you get people, until you start winning, it's going to be, even when you were winning, you weren't getting free agents to come here. Like, and so whomever the GM is, like, the building through the draft, that's the way you're going to have to do it. There is no getting, the best player we ever got that just signed here was Melo, and he did it because he had to. Nobody else was messing with Carmelo. After that, man, it gets real, real murky. And I don't know, I don't think a great GM is going to solve that, to be honest. Kevin Pritchard was building something great here, but he did it through the draft. Like, and so that's all. Anytime we've had anything great happen to us here in Portland,
do you
it's
know why he had
draft.
To build through the draft?
Because Portland sucks.
No. Because Paul Allen, who had been signing free agents, who had Bob Whitson actually going out and acquiring big names, said, "I don't want to be at the top of the luxury tax anymore.